You know, you look in the scriptures and you find no place in the Bible where the disciples asked Jesus, say, Lord, teach us to preach. You won't find that in the scriptures, will you? I mean, you're looking for it. You don't say, you know, Lord, teach us to preach. You won't find the scriptures where they say, Lord, teach us to win souls or teach us to do. But you do find here in Luke 11 where he says, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, Jesus had such a prayer life that his disciples were watching and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to talk a little bit here tonight about this prayer. Now, many people have named this prayer here in Luke 11 the Lord's Prayer. Have y'all heard that? I mean, he said that, the Lord's Prayer. That is not really the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. The Lord never prayed this prayer himself, but he did this as a model. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. You'll find the Lord's Prayer when he prayed to the Father right before he was going to. You can read that. But here is a model prayer that the Lord gave to his disciples and gave that we would find here for them to pray. So, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven as in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and etc. Here he gives us a model prayer to pray. But I don't want to talk too much about that. I just want to talk a little bit about prayer and some things that prayer should be. The first thing, prayer tonight should be believing. Amen? Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye shall have faith and not doubt, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You know, a lot of times the problem with people's prayers is when they get down and pray, they don't have faith to believe that God's going to answer. Have you ever got down on your knees before and you prayed and you just really just had lip service? Have you ever done that before? We'll talk a little more about that in a minute. But prayer requires believing. And it requires to have faith in believing. We must have faith that God will do what He says. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, But without what? Faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when we get on our knees and pray, we must believe that God's going to answer a prayer. Amen. And we must have faith to believe that He will do what He said. And I'll tell you what, God has really tried our faith this thing with my life. I'm telling you, it's not cheap to drive to Oregon and back every week. My van, somebody asked me the other day, said, how much did it cost you to drive? I'm guessing $110, $120 a week just that trip. I'm talking about just down there and back. A one round trip is over $100 a week, just gas. Then we got to eat in two places. But that's not counting the doctor visits and the treatments and all that. And I'm saying, I'll never forget, we were, it all started back in December. Y'all know I try to find a little part-time work, and a lot of people are doing that right now, trying to supplement income. And I was trying to, I try this job, that job. They'd have an ad in the paper. I'd apply for that and couldn't get a job. And I remember I was going to Labor Ready. I thought, well, maybe a temp will hire me. I said, okay. And I just didn't understand it. I said, Lord, we're hurting. We need money. I said, I can't get a job. I can't, you know, and I just, you've been there? And I said, Lord, so I'll never forget how God started blessing some things. We were getting behind on some things, and we just didn't know. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I was at Labor Ready. I was there 5:30 every morning to 8:30. And I go in, I sit, and they say, okay, we don't have nothing today. Go home. And I said, okay. So I go home. I go back the next day, do that. I go back. I did that for like 4 or 5 days. And I thought, man, you know, get up 5:30, just sitting there at 8:30, not getting any work. So one day I went home, and they always leave you a number. Something comes in, we'll call you. Out 10 minutes now. I missed this call by 10 minutes. She calls and she said, I had a job, but now it's been fulfilled. I got a little discouraged about that. So that night my wife was asleep, and I was laying in bed, and me and the Lord just had a talk. You know, we just really, I said, Lord, I don't understand. You know, they had a job for me, and I missed it. So next morning, I almost didn't, but I said, you know what? I'm going to go in this morning, and I'm just going to trust the Lord. 5:30, I went in, and I was there, and the lady at the desk, she said, I'll tell you something. We have a job. You have been patient. You have sit here. You've came in day after day and just been real patient about waiting on a job. I've got a job on the Navy base, and she said it's Navy base pay. And $21.95 an hour. One day, though. I could have took that job for months. But that one day, I got paid $21.95 an hour. And you don't get that paid in temporary services. Boy, she said, can you be there by 7? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I grabbed the thing she told me. And she kept talking to tell me. Like, I was listening to her. I was going to be there by 7. You know, I was going out the door. And boy, you know what? I said all the way over there. God really loves me. God really loves me. I was having a shout and spell in my little car. I said, man, I'm just excited. And then I got home that day. My wife, she said, you're not going to believe this. And I was just telling about my job, and I was excited. I got to work. You know, I was out pulling cable out of a hole on the Navy base. You know, and I mean, man, I was all excited, man. That was good stuff. Woo! Anyway, I had a job and then clipping them. But you know what? My wife said, you're not going to believe this. Our support this month was probably one of the highest it's ever been. Amen. We had almost double the money come in that month. I said, you're kidding. Boy, we paid bills. I was saying again, God loves us. God loves us. Well, then it got about, you know how it is, you get on the mountain and you start, boy, you face real good when it's up there, isn't it? I mean, boy, when God's poured it in, you say, hey, wow, man, boy, did I believe God? It's when you say, Lord, you still remember me? I'm still over here on 1215 Madison Park Drive, Mount Vernon, Washington. Can you remember me? This is Jeff. You know, have you ever been there? How many of you have ever been there? Amen. But you know what? Faith. Come around beginning of March, and they said they need to do an MRI on my wife, and they had all these things happen, and just everything just went. I had quit work. I mean, I was just a day-by-day job, but I couldn't work because I had to take care of my wife. She just went, I mean, got completely better. I thought, man, now what would I say? I got to take care of her. She's number one priority right now. And so I said, I just have to trust the Lord for the finances. And so then it came after we found out we were going to have to do these tests. And in February was the lowest support we probably have ever had since we moved to Washington. So I went with one of it wasn't the highest, but it was way up there. It was a real good support month. And then 2 months later, it just like dropped bottom. And I thought, now how are we even going to pay the bills, let alone getting her to these doctor appointments? And I thought, man, I said, well, I just look at my wife and I said, just going to trust the Lord. I don't have any other way. I can't work now and couldn't depend on me. You have to, you know, just depend on Him. And then all of a sudden, he didn't know about it, but I had an uncle back in North Carolina that said, Lord, laid on his heart to go around the churches and tell them what was going on. And they started taking up love offerings. They started coming in left and right. And I had no idea this was going on. And I said, I didn't even talk to my uncle about this. I told my dad what was going on. Maybe my dad. But I didn't ask him to do that. But you know what? God was working behind the scenes. And then God started paying the bills. And then we were going down there paying for doctor visits with cash. And because God just kept sending money. Well, I'm trying to say, we got a big God.
Amen.
We got to believe Him in the big times, and we got to believe Him in the bad times. Right. We got to believe Him on the mountain, and we're in the valley. Because why? God will answer prayer. We got to believe Him. We got to believe. Boy, God wants to hear and answer our prayers. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us."
Amen.
God will hear. God will hear our prayers. James 4:2-3 said, you lust and you have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. You know what? Here we see we don't have a lot of things because we don't ask, we don't believe.
Right.
But God will answer prayer. So first of all, prayer should be believing. What time do y'all get out here? Is it midnight? And okay, all right. I didn't ask him what time. He didn't give me no time limit. But anyway, but prayer should be believing. Do you believe God tonight? Is there something tonight you need? Just believe. Have faith. Prayer should be watchful. Matthew 26, verse 41. Bible says, watch and pray. By the way, you're driving the car praying, don't close your eyes. Watch, amen. man, I believe it. You know, and praying with your eyes open when you're driving, amen. I hope you pray when you drive. Well, I tell you what, on this highway, the way some of these people drive, you need to pray. I tell you, we got some crazy ones out there. But watch and pray. Oh, we need to watch. I had a guy that was, I believe he was in the demonic world back in North Carolina. A magician came to town, and he announced that he could be blindfolded and drive all over town. He did. They blindfolded him, and they had all the papers and everything, and him driving around doing all this crazy stuff. Well, he went to Virginia, I think it was, and he was the same magician, and they already told him, if you drive blindfolded in this town, you'll go to jail. And he did, and he went to jail. Amen. But anyway, you know what? Watch and pray. Amen. Notice the next part, it says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, I tell you what, we ought to have our eyes open and watching and praying all the time. We're living in a world that is full of evil. I preached this morning, and one of the things I was talking about why men fall at our church this morning. And I tell you, we got to watch. We got a devil that's alive, and he is out working hard to destroy people. Now, if you're saved, you can't take your soul, but he can destroy your testimony. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a lot of them getting their testimony ruined because they're not watching. I tell you what, we got to watch. We don't need to be ignorant of his devices. We better study this book. We better watch and pray and be careful because temptation is everywhere we look this day and time. And there are a lot of people falling through. Why? They don't watch and they don't pray. We need to watch and pray. Strong's Concordance says it means to keep awake, to be awake, watchful, be vigilant. You know what that's at? Be vigilant. Your devil is what? He's out. He's out to get us. Boy, we need to watch and be careful and watch and pray all the time. We don't just pray. We better watch and be strong in prayer. Jesus, you remember the story right before he was crucified. He told them, his disciples, that's when he said this, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. But what did Peter do? He took a nap. You remember? Peter, watch and pray. You're not in temptation. And the Lord went back and prayed. But what did Peter do? He wasn't doing a lot of watching. Watch means awake. Peter was not awake. He was sleeping. And it was Peter that stood up and said, Lord, I don't care what everybody else does, but you know what? Old Peter's going to be right there with you. He's going to walk all the way. But you know what happened? Lord looked at him and said, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. Oh, Lord, not me. Not Peter. Peter didn't watch and pray. Peter slept and prayed. Or slept and didn't pray, he should say. He didn't do much praying. And you know what happened? When he followed Jesus, he watched what they were doing to him. And there's three times he denied the Lord. When temptation came, he gave in. Well, I'll tell you what, for every day that we better be careful is today. We better watch and pray. Boy, we need strength to overcome temptation. You know what? My flesh is weak tonight. I said this morning, there is no way I would try to take on the devil. There's this guy stood up and he said, come on, I'll take on the devil. He said, come on, I double dare him to come after me. And boy, he was ready to go. You know what happened to him? He ended up falling into sin. I'll tell you something. You're no match for the devil, and I'm not either. Now, through the Lord's help, through His power, I can defeat the devil every day. But you turn old Jeff Hawks up on the devil, I'm going to fall every time. He's stronger than I am. I respect that he is stronger than I. But we better watch and we better pray. We better pray that God gives us power to overcome temptation because it's there. And we will be tempted. But we need to pray for our children. They're faced with temptation, aren't they? Well, I'll tell you what, there's so much out there, and the devil's destroying young people all the time. I've sat and watched children coming out of high school and things. That were down in Gresham, Oregon, I think they had the teachers went on strike. I said, well, maybe it's some of the parents of homeschool. Maybe that'll be the good out of it. But, you know, they were standing out on the streets, you know, want more pay, on strike, you know, not paid enough, unfair wages and all this stuff. Teachers were on strike. And my wife was talking to the lady in Winco down there and said, yeah, I said, they look like they may finish out the year like that. The kids not even going to finish the year out because the teachers won't strike. So kids, but you saw children everywhere walking around doing things because there's no school. And boy, I tell you what, we're living in a sad day. How the devil is taking our young people. Just the way they were dressed and the way they were acting and the way they were doing. I mean, it just boy, I mean, all the demonic symbols and stuff they have on their around, and boy, it breaks your heart. And to see what the devil's doing to children. But I tell you what, we need to pray for our children. We need to watch and pray. I got to move on. I've only got 22 points, so we got to get going. Yeah, I'm just kidding, but prayer that they know me. They're saying, I don't think he is kidding. Prayer should be persistent. Just because you don't get an answer to prayer the first time, keep going back. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said, pray without ceasing. We just need to keep praying. Prayer should be persistent. There's a lot of times that we won't see somebody saved right now. It might be several years, but don't give up.
That's right.
I had an uncle that he'd have nothing to do with religion at all. I remember going up to my uncle, and he'd give a coat right off his back to you. But he was lost. And it got so bad that he lived in Pennsylvania, and I lived in North Carolina. It got so bad that when he come to town, it was unannounced. Because he knew if I knew he was coming to town, I was going to go witness to him. I mean, without fail. He would just went and tell people he was coming. I remember one time, I went to the doctor's office for something, and the Lord told me to go visit Grandma. I thought, well, that's strange. Just go visit Grandma in the middle of the day. So I did. I just drove up there. Lo and behold, guess who was there? Countenance changed on his face when he saw me come through the door. Like, uh-oh. Hey there, how you doing? That's my Uncle Bill had a big, deep voice. He loved racing. He'd come in and watch racing, you know, but she'd come unannounced. And that time, I was there for about an hour, and he hogged the whole conversation. I couldn't get a word in. Every time he did press, he would come up with another say, boy, I tell you about this right here, Bob. I never seen my uncle talk so much. He knew if he got quiet for 5 minutes, man, I was going to hit him with the gospel. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And he said, yeah, I guess Mert, that was my aunt. Mert's probably been waiting on me, wondering where I'm at. I'm going to have to be heading up the road. And I thought, what am I going to do? I said, Bill, hang on just a minute. Let me run to my car. I ran to my car, and our pastor just preached on hell Sunday morning, and I bought the tape. And I went and got the tape, and we had a teenage boy saved that morning. Amen? And I said, Uncle Bill, I know you got about a six, maybe 8 hour drive home, and you got a lot of time. I said, here's a tape. I want you to listen to this on the way home. I thought, I'm going to get the gospel somehow. Whether he did or not, he said he would. But I gave him that tape. I tried every way I could. My grandma subscribed to the Sword of the Lord or some magazine where he was getting. She said she went over there and had them stacked over in the corner. But we did everything, try to get the gospel book because there was nobody up in that area to get in the gospel. But my cousin told me a year before he died that he made a profession of faith. And praise the Lord for that. But some of the hardest people. Did you know George Mueller didn't see some of the people saved after he was dead? And George Mueller had one of the greatest faiths. If y'all have read the story about, I think I forget, $7 million, I think he prayed into an orphanage. I'm talking about back in the 1700s, 1800s. He prayed in and never asked a man for a dime. I mean, he'd be praying for three sacks of flour. and or flax or whatever he needed, and exactly that would be at his door. I remember reading this. Somebody telling about one store said, George Mueller said, I need a chair. If you go up there about two blocks on up there, there'll be a chair. That's it. Really? He said, yeah. He said, I pray there'll be a chair for you. Pray. Sure enough, the guy went up there and there was a chair there. And, I mean, he just had a, you know, just a tremendous faith and praying. I could go on and tell you stories about him, but there were some people, they said they didn't get saved after he passed away. I didn't know this. It's what my father-in-law said. I've never heard this, but through him. My father-in-law knows a lot. And Billy Sunday, when he was dying, said, I've tried to reach the whole world for Christ and lost my son as a drunkard. But my father-in-law said that someone else said that Billy Sunday's son got saved after Billy Sunday died. So that, you know, so don't give up. We just got to be persistent. We see the story here about this widow kept going and begging the king going after, but after much persistence, she got what she wanted. Boy, God wants us to keep praying. And just because you don't get your prayers answered now, keep praying. Amen? Ethan didn't get the guitar the first time he prayed, but after persistent praying, God gave him a guitar. Amen? And I didn't get married the first time I prayed for a wife. You know what? It took a long time. It was 31 before I finally found a wife. But I prayed a long time for one. That was one prayer I didn't think God was ever going to answer. I just said, when my wife came around, I said, I'm going to be single and just serve Jesus and never get married. But you know what? Just keep praying. Be persistent. We have to keep praying, not give up on God. Next thing is our prayer should be Christ-centered. James 4:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The phrase here we see in Jesus' name is not just some formula to conclude at the end of a prayer. Most people pray, and I do, when pray at the end, you say, and in Jesus' name. A lot of people just think it's some magic thing. But you know, to pray in Jesus' name means we're praying as if Jesus would pray for that in His name. He said, if you ask anything in my name, what I want or what I would pray for, I'll do it. God just not going to give. And thank the Lord, He won't just give you anything. Amen?
Right, amen.
If you ever prayed for something and finally you prayed, you bugged God enough, you finally said, okay, here, I'll just give it to you, and you wish God hadn't given it to you. You ever had that happen before? And I tell you, God don't just, you know, He wants us to, you know, He wants us to pray in His will and pray in Jesus' name. It's not just a form of concluding prayer. It's praying and following. You also find in verse 14, it says, keep my commandments. He wants us to pray and keep His commandments and then be obedient. Over in 1 John, it says, if we ask anything in His will, He'll hear us. We've got to ask in His will. And we've got to pray in God's will. And our prayer should be Christ-centered. It should be to love and to obey Christ and what He wants and not what we want. And when we have we know what He wants, and we're doing what He wants, and we're asking in His name and for His sake, then He hears us. And we have confidence that in our prayers. But we need to pray. It needs to be Christ-centered when we're praying. Not only should we believe, but we ought to pray that it's going to bring a pleasing to God. I tell you what, you can pray about anything as long as you know it's pleasing to Him. You shouldn't pray for something that's evil or something that's wrong. We ought to always be praying to God's will and praying in His name. He said, if you ask anything in my name. Not because I say, Lord, I need a brand new Lamborghini in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, that's a vain prayer. Well, Lord, I'd love to have a 3,000 square foot home in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know why anybody wants that big of a house, but that's a lot to clean, a lot to keep up. Amen. But anyway, but I'm just saying, people pray vain prayers. And just, what the Bible said, you ask Him is, but we need to pray in Jesus' name. I'd be Christ-centered. Boy, what way of prayer to be pleasing Him. I tell you what, we pray and we're pleasing Him, we know that we will get what we pray for, amen? But we pray out of His will. Now, notice this, prayer should be Bible-centered. John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The verb abide here means to continue or to remain. And it's used no less than 12 times in John chapter 15, 4 through 6. Abide in me. You find it over and over. Abide in me. I'm the vine. Abide in me. Abide in me. Why are words? We ought to be so much in the Word of God that we're abiding and we're continuing in the Word of God. And then we can know the mind of Christ. And then we can pray. And our prayer will be Bible-centered. And we'll ask what God wants us to pray for and not what we want to pray for. Amen? Well, I tell you what, we need to pray. And it should be Bible-centered and continuing and praying in Christ. And over in 1 John it says, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. I mean, man, we abide, we're going to walk in him and do what he would want us to do. Prayer should be compassionate. Matthew 9:36-38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were so, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto the disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. For the Lord looked and he had compassion on the multitudes. You know what? We need some compassion in Christianity today. Can I take time out and say something? It bothers me when people say they love Christ, but they're so rude and they don't show compassion to other people. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
By the way, now I'm not. This is not what I say. This is not Jeff Theol. This is what John said. You can't say you love your brother. I mean, hate your brother and love God.
Right.
We see a lot of that going on in Christianity, don't we?
Yes.
And I tell you, it bothers me when people are always, we need compassion. Boy, it'll break our hearts to see these. We shouldn't be Pharisees and stand up and these people that are lost and are going their way to hell, and we ought to have compassion on them. I'm not saying love the sin, love what they're doing, but I'm saying have some compassion. Amen? Jesus did. He saw the multitudes and he looked out and he had compassion. And what did he say? He gave his only prayer request we find recorded in the Word of God. Our Savior said, The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus said, pray that you send some laborers out there. Hey, there's souls out there ready to be reaped. Go out and get them. There's multitudes out dying and going to hell. We need somebody to go out there with the gospel and give them the love of Christ. Boy, prayer should be compassion. Jesus here saw the multitudes and it moved him with compassion when he prayed and requested that we would pray. Boy, we need compassion on the lost. I know your pastor's doing some of these missions. He goes to the, I don't know if he goes to the rescue mission or not. He does, doesn't he? I know he goes
to jail.
I know he goes to jails and stuff. I used to do that once a month. That's North Carolina. Me and a bunch of preacher boys would go out and we'd preach once a month at the rescue mission. And boy, break your heart. See some of these homeless people come in there, and but you know, we need to have compassion. You say, man, why would you waste your time on them? I tell you what, because Jesus loves them and died for them too.
Right, amen.
They need the gospel.
Yes.
I worked the bus ministry for years. I had over 10, maybe 11 years in the bus ministry. I'd go out and pick up little bus kids that nobody loved on Saturdays.
Right.
I mean, go out and talk to them on Saturday, bring them in on Sunday. Mom and Dad would be drinking the night before. They wouldn't even get out of bed and didn't even care where their kids were, and I'd bring them to church on Sunday.
Amen.
I remember, I wasn't always like that. I was raised in I love the bus ministry. My dad drove a bus. He used to get us up early on Sunday morning. We had to drive away to Cana, Virginia and pick up some kids. And I remember growing up and said, man, those kids, they need a bath. I mean, how kids do sometimes. I remember when I was a teenager, I was 19, I was going to this church, and God, the pastor, the Lord tricked me into getting into bus ministry. I never forget it. There's a van. It had a 12-passenger van, and this man that drove the van had seizures. And so the pastor said, we need somebody to drive that van. I was all for the bus ministry, but I didn't want to get involved. Y'all ever been like that?
Yes.
I'm confessing. Confession is good for the soul. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't tell a preacher that, but I thought, he said to Jeff, you used to drive a school bus, and you probably drive that van. I said, yeah, I probably could. In my mind, I said, man, we'll get late for lunch and all that. I didn't say it out loud. I said, yeah, I probably could, preacher. He said, good. How about you start driving next Sunday? All right. I said, okay. Smiling inside. Boy, you love to, preacher, inside. Lying, lying, lying. That's not what I want to do, but you know what? I did it. And then finally, the guy, when I started driving, he quit. So then I was stuck with the whole thing. Nobody's visiting those kids on Saturday. And I was working 6 days a week at that time. And I drive every Sunday and I see those little kids. And I said, Lord, somebody really needs to visit those kids on Saturday. I can't. I'm working. And all of a sudden, Easter come around and nobody was... We had that weekend off. And the pastor said, hey, let's go visit the bus route on Saturday. Okay. So we went out and visited. And he really didn't tell me what he was doing. He was sort of tricking me into getting into this thing, you know. But I kept getting a burden for that. You know, all of a sudden we quit working on Saturday.
Right.
I didn't need the money as much as I thought I did.
No. Right.
So I said, well, you know what? I guess I'll start visiting on Saturday. But boy, God put compassion in my heart. I had some nice suits. And I didn't want those little kids to touch all that dirt and grease to mess up my suits. Cost money to go to cleaners. Back in those days, and I'm the first to tell you, you can't do what I did 25 years ago because of all the junk that goes on with today. You've got to be careful. You'd be accused of things. You know, I instruct my kids, my bus workers, I don't have a bus manager now, but I said, you do not in any way hold a kid's hand across the street or one little small children, but other than that, don't do anything. Don't touch them in any way. Because this day, we got a lot of wicked people out there. Amen?
Amen.
And little old Tommy, he was 3 years old, and I'd carry him to the bus, you know, and he'd be eating a Snicker candy bar or something, get all over my suit. You know, finally I said, you know, I don't care about this old suit.
Right.
Well, I had a love in my heart for those kids. Compassion came across them. Man, I witnessed, I led some of those mom and dads to the Lord. I got a family going to church for many years, even after I left. She died and went to heaven not long ago. I won some families and some people through the bus ministry. They become workers in the bus ministry. I got two. One I went actually in the bus ministry, but I got two that's preaching the gospel. One young preacher boy is working with the young people today. I led him to the Lord at 10 years old. Took him home. I didn't only just go on Sunday morning. I got such compassion. I said, preacher, can I run that band for the older kids on Sunday and Wednesday night? I was running. Matter of fact, my mom and dad got concerned. My mom and dad, church going people, love God. But they said, son, you don't have a social life. All you do is work the bus route. All you do is spend time with the bus kids. And we want you to do that. We thank God for the Lord's work. But you need to get a social life. I know what dad was saying. We want you to get married so you move out of the house. That's what he wanted. But I did. I take those bus kids out to ball games. I take them out visiting with me on Saturday.
Amen.
I did all kinds of things with those kids. I loved them. They were my life. Matter of fact, when little Tommy and there's 7 kids in that family, they moved away unannounced. I sit and cried almost all night because I loved those kids so much. When I went off to Bible college, they wrote me letters. Saying, you're the only dad I ever had. Some of the parents, some of the kids didn't even know their dad. I can go on. But boy, I tell you what, people need compassion. We need compassion and that prayer for lost souls. Well, when you drive up and down this street right here, here in Everett, you ought to see these people and have some compassion. There's multitudes here in Everett. Just the city, not even thinking about it, Snohomish County. Right here in just Everett alone is over 100 and some thousand people. Multitude of people right here that need the gospel. Boy, we need some compassionate praying over these people. Prayer should be submissive. Luke 22:42, Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord Jesus, here taught us how to pray, but he also set the example. He was in the garden and they said, "Lord, remove this cup, but not my will." Jesus submitted to the Father's will, not to his own will. He surrendered himself. God's will ought to always be upon our hearts. God's will be done in our life. Getting back to the bus ministry. You know what? I love the bus ministry. I didn't quit. I left there and went to Bible college, spent 4 more years in the bus ministry. I got out. I got back in the bus ministry again. And I see a big old yellow bus running on Sunday. I still have bus fever. I like to be in the bus. And we helped Northwest for a little while before we started our church. We were in the bus ministry. I took my kids on the bus route. Visited the bus route on Saturday. Tell you what, I just love the bus ministry. But you know what? I remember saying, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." And the Lord said, "I want you to go off to Bible college." And I said, "Well, Lord, I'm going to leave these bus kids." Boy, I tell you what, that was a hard one. But I did. I went off to Bible college, went there for 4 years, and just little by little, God just started using me in different ways. But it's not my will, it's His will. And boy, that ought to be our will. And people say, "Well, if I surrender the will of God, He'll send me to Africa and live in a hut with all those wild animals and all that stuff and have to live in all the snakes and all the things." You know what? The will of God is not always going to Africa. But if it is, it'd be the best place you could be. Did you know I would be safer in the dark jungles of Africa with all the headhunters and all the out trying to watch them not to take my head and I end up being stew or being eaten by a lion or an elephant or some kind of a wild beast. I'd be safer there than I could be right here with bodyguards all around my house in America.
Right.
I tell you what, we ought to want the will of God for our lives. And pray not my will. It ought to be praying in the will of God. God, not my will, but your will be done. We ought to be submissive to whatever He wants. Boy, I tell you what, when we get down, we pray. We don't just pray vain repetition. We ought to pray, say, "Lord, what do you want? What should I pray for?" And pray according to His will and not our own will. The Lord Jesus was our example. He didn't only show the disciples and gave them this model of prayer, but He lived it. We never found where He prayed this prayer that He gave them, but He was an example of this prayer. He said, "Thy will be done." And He prayed, "Thy will be done." And then the last one, prayer should be meaningful. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Well, here we see in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about the prayer closet. And that doesn't mean where you hang your clothes. Oh, it could be. It just means an inner room somewhere where you can get alone with God. My favorite place has no rooms. I don't get to pray there anymore. I don't live in North Carolina anymore. I'm out here. But my favorite prayer place growing up, I've had to make a prayer place here different. But I like praying outside in the woods. I'm a country boy. I like out in the woods, down by the creek. That was my prayer place many years ago. And I still pray in the woods somewhere if I could. I pray in my house now, or now I pray down the prophet's chamber wherever I can find a place to pray. But the purpose of that prayer closet is to have a place. Let me ask you now, do you have a place? Do you have a place where you get along with God? Now I'm not talking about everybody. Everybody as a family we should pray. Our family prays together. But what I'm saying is, every individual from the smallest child to the adult ought to have a place. And can I say this? It ought to be in a schedule. If you don't schedule it, you won't do it. If you don't schedule to read your Bible, I'm not talking about you have to be like we're talking about vain repetition. I'm talking about if you don't plan to read your Bible, you won't read your Bible. You say, "I'm going to read my Bible." I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but how many read your Bibles every day this past week? How many read just one day this week? I tell you what, you got to have a place. And you got to have a time.
Right.
Me, I only get my Bible reading in the mornings because I know how my days sometimes can turn out. And I read it through the day, not just the only time, but I want to make sure in the morning. Some of you may want to do it in the evening. I think it's better to do it in the morning. Break it up. Do a little morning, a little evening, because it's better to start your day off.
Yes.
What did I say earlier? Pray that you enter not in temptation.
Yes.
Not much temptation when you're going to bed and you... But temptation is when you face the day, isn't it?
That's right.
But you know what? We need a place. And we need to pray. But he's talking about the prayer closet. But then he went on, he said, don't do as these heathen do. You know what they like to do? They like to get up in the synagogues and they like to say, Our Father, these big words, try to impress it. Have you ever heard people pray that you know they really, you could really tell they're really trying to impress everybody? I mean, they use these big words, you think, where'd that come from? What dictionaries? I mean, I've been in places like that. I mean, use big words, try to impress people. He said, man, don't try to, I'm not talking about, some people are just intelligent and that's just their language. I'm not belittling that. But I'm saying people that you can tell they're really trying to impress people. And I'm thinking, that's not what God wants us to do. Be like that guy back in the hills. He said, Lord, it's Tom again. And just simple. But you know what? When he prayed, you could feel God in the room. I never forget meeting Ralph Sexton Jr., senior, years ago. He's in heaven. And I heard all kinds of stories about him. And but that man, if he said, Our Father in heaven, he said, Lord, and as soon as he said that, I'm talking about you felt a strong presence of God come in the room. I felt like I wasn't there in that room anymore. I was in another world. Because he knew how to get to heaven. But you know what? So many times when we get in our prayer closet, God wants us to do more than lip service. Just saying the same old words over and over. He said, man, don't try to impress anybody. Don't just use vain repetition and do like the heathen do. They want to impress people. Man, just pray from the heart.
Amen.
Like the Holy Spirit of God leads you as you pray.
Amen.
He said, don't use vain repetition. They shall be heard of their much speaking. Because what does he say? If we pray in a prayer closet, he that pray in secret shall be rewarded what? Openly. He said, boy, those heathen, they get those hypocrites, they get their reward. So I tell you what, before we can have public praying, there must be some private praying. And we must get along with God. Well, I'll tell you what, the prayer, our prayer life, should not be just lip service. It ought to be meaningful. How's your prayer life tonight? Everyone in this room, if you be honest, we all can grow in our prayer life, can't we?
Yeah.
Boy, it's just a growing process. The more, I've been saved over 40 years. I'm not going to tell you my age, but I grew up in church. I got saved at a very young age. I thank God for that. It saved me a lot of heartache. But I'm still growing. Well, I talked to some of the greatest prayer warriors that I know personally, and I said, boy, man, God, I just keep growing. Y'all never want to stop growing. But what have you got tonight you need to pray about? You need an answer from heaven. Well, I'll tell you, Jesus here, his disciples looked at him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Oratory said, I'd rather teach men to pray. I'd rather teach 10 men to pray than 100 to preach. Because prayer will get the job done. The greatest preachers are men of prayer. Because they spend time alone with God on their knees before they do a work for God. Well, I tell you what, anything we do for God, we're going to have to spend some time in prayer.
Amen.
Prayer changes things.
Yes.
Boy, you got something, and there's a lot of things we have nothing to do about. Well, I tell you what, we better be praying for this election this year.
Amen.
We need to be praying for our country.
Amen.
Our country is going down the wrong. It's going down the wrong way.
Right.
More and more, it's turning away from God.
Right.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close. I closed 15 times before I'm finally done. But my wife said something this week. It doesn't shock me. The doctor she goes down in Gresham, Morgan was just talking. And I'm telling people everywhere I go, my wife's had a great opportunity to witness this doctor. And And she was talking to him this week, and he said, yeah, he said, you know what? The goal in medical school is by the halftime they're through medical school, they don't believe there's a God. They try to take everything out. And I thought, man, and he was just talking about just that, just in medical school, but that's in all a lot of other areas that our government and our country is trying. They're trying to, you know, the court system has been trying to get the, I mean, they're taking the Ten Commandments out. They've been trying to get God out of this country more and more. We need to pray for our country. But you know what? The Lord said these things were going to happen. Start looking up.
Amen.
Trumpet's about ready. I believe Gabriel's up there licking his lips, getting ready to blow the trumpet. It's not going to be long. We're going to be flying out of here.
Amen.
But we still need to pray until that time comes.
Amen.
Because our country is going down the tubes. A lot of things happening. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we all can grow in our prayer life. Lord, I just pray that you would help us.